This morning's scripture is from Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 to 9. Get wisdom at any cost. Listen, my son, to a father's instructions. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I, too, was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me. He said to me, take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. The second scripture reading is from Romans 12, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
And so our first reading this morning was about listening to some fatherly advice. I had an opportunity over the holidays to begin giving some fatherly advice because my boy turned 16. And because he's eager to learn to drive our stick shift 2001 Toyota Corolla, we went out to the farmer's market parking lot one day, and I said, all right, you got to learn how to drive stick. And so there was lots of fatherly advice to dole out. To Owen's credit, he did not stall the car within the first half hour of driving. Now think about that. That's pretty impressive. He did stall a couple of times after that, and then there was that one time where he started in third gear, and that didn't smell too nice. But generally speaking, but like within, I think, 30 seconds of this lesson, like the first time he's putting the car in gear, he turns to me and he says, does this eventually become easy? And I'm like, you've only tried it once. And I'm like, yes, it does become easy. Eventually, you don't even think about this anymore. Eventually, it just happens. You just smoothly glide from gear to gear, and you don't even think about that darn clutch anymore. Like driving in life, it's the details, it's the little habits, it's the daily choices that stretch us, that strengthen our faith, eventually becoming second nature, for good or for ill. So if we're learning positive habits, well, we're going to go in the good direction. But if we're learning negative habits, they will also shape and form who we are. And so this father in Proverbs chapter 4 begins with these words, take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. There is a way for us to learn how to live. Like a good father, God wants to show us what really matters in life. He wants to show us the best way to live. When we're captivated by his vision, when we come to love the things that he loves, our life will begin to take on new shape. Now, believing that we can change and live better lives than we've lived over the past 12 months is a sign of faith. We talked about this last week in the context of New Year's resolutions and asked the question, why not take a shot at growing spiritually this year? For the month of January, we're going to learn some stretches that are important if we want to keep in good spiritual shape. Last week, we talked about stretching our will. What does that mean? And this morning, we're going to talk about stretching our minds. In the weeks to follow, stretching our body, our wallet, our social sphere, just a few of the important areas of our lives that God wants to stretch and challenge. Now, not unlike driving stick, it may seem overwhelming to try and figure all of this out at once, but the different areas of our lives are a lot more connected than you might think. I like how Eugene Peterson reflects on this idea. He says, yes, there is a lot going on, and yes, there is a lot to do, but it is not a lot of isolated things. And it's not a lot of different tasks, random, disconnected people, a junkyard of parts out of which we try to piece together something livable. No, there are a lot more connected, all these different aspects of our lives. What we're after is a life lived with our love for God and his love for us at the center of it all. But how do we know what God wants for us? How do we know how to live faithful lives? Well, in Paul's New Testament letter to the church in Rome, he makes the claim that the renewal of our mind is the key to being able to discern what God wants, the will of God. Let me read it again for you. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is a powerful passage. There's so much that we could mine out of it. But in summary, there are really two things that we're challenged with. First is that the way that we think is often patterned after the world around us rather than after God. That's an important thing. Steve alluded to that in the introduction to communion this morning, that a lot of times the way we think, it's just by default patterned after a different way of thinking. God wants to stretch and challenge us in that. Secondly, the passage challenges us that the renewal of our minds is a key component in the transformation that's required in order to know and do His will. If we want to live the way God's created us to live, then we need to go through this transformation of our mind, of the way that we think. So for starters, I thought we'd take a look at a couple of unhealthy ways of thinking. A number of years ago, I was invited to speak at a church leaders conference in Halifax. Being a guest speaker is fabulous. You get you take your best stories, your best jokes, your best illustrations, you put them all into one thing, and everyone thinks you're brilliant. It was awesome. You just kind of go from place to place. And I used to do this a lot more frequently. But I thought at this time I wanted to try something different. So I'll put all those good stories and funny jokes in there, but I wanted to try something new too. And so what I decided was that I was going to ask a question at the end of one of my sessions, and then there was like a lunch break and some other kind of breakout thing, and then I was going to have everyone write their responses and put them in a box, and then at the beginning of my next session, I was going to read out these responses anonymously to the whole group of people who were gathered, this large group. So the question that I asked at the end of my one session was, what challenging questions have you been asking yourself about your faith or beliefs lately? And so I wanted people to fill out this paper, so I had this little slip of paper that had that question written and just said anonymously, just put down whatever question you're asking about your faith, and then fold it up and put it in this box. And so before my next session, I went and got the box and I opened it, and it was empty. Not a single person answered the question. Not a single person participated in what I thought was a pretty creative exercise. And so I learned a lesson that that's not a good way to build the beginning of your next session. So I kind of stood up there. I was planning on reading all these like really controversial questions that people were saying, well, why about this? Why does God do this? Or why does the Bible say? Like, I was expecting all these really controversial things and I got nothing. So one unhealthy way of using our minds is to not use them very much at all. To not have any questions about life, about the things that we believe, that's not really using our minds very well. And so I'm going to quote Charles Spurgeon to say this, because then you can get angry at him instead of at me. He said, "I believe a very large majority of churchgoers are merely unthinking, slumbering worshipers of an unknown God." Spurgeon was a very famous British preacher in the 19th century. And he had a very large congregation, so he offended a lot of people when he wrote those words. But his thought is just saying there are so many people who are not thinking nearly enough. This may even be rooted in a positive kind of idea. But sometimes people have this notion that faith and thinking don't belong together. So here's the positive notion. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Now, this is a pretty well-known passage from the Bible, and it's a really important one. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Now, that's a really important truth, and we could talk about that for quite a while. But when we think about the intersection between faith and thinking, some people, I think, have this idea that it's just faith. Faith is what matters here, and thinking is somehow like opposed to faith. Like if I put too much thought into something, if I ask too many questions, then somehow that goes against the grain of faith, because I'm supposed to trust in the Lord with my heart. I'm not supposed to lean on my understanding. And so like the Beatles, "All You Need Is Love," some people sing, "All You Need Is Faith." I don't really need to think a whole lot, but that puts us in a dangerous position. Gordon MacDonald writes these challenging, warning words, really. "In our pressurized society, people who are out of shape mentally usually fall victims to ideas and systems that are destructive to the human spirit and to human relationships. They are victimized because they have not taught themselves how to think, nor have they set themselves to the lifelong pursuit of the growth of the mind. Not having the facility of a strong mind, they grow dependent upon the thoughts and opinions of others." Those are some challenging words. people who are out of shape mentally. One of the dangers that he outlines here of not stretching our mind, of believing that we can kind of just have faith and we don't need to think things through, is that we become easy victims to the ideologies of other people that don't line up with who God is and how God calls us to live. By falling out of shape mentally, we naturally conform to the pattern of the world. Then on perhaps the other end of the spectrum, some are tempted to think too much. And what do I mean by that? They have the same kind of idea, this trying to struggle with how faith and thinking go together, and thinking that actually there's not enough room for faith if you really want to be a thinker. George Smith wrote a book called Atheism, The Case Against God, and he explains it as clearly as anyone, I think. He says, reason and faith are opposites, two mutually exclusive terms. There is no reconciliation or common ground. And so this other, what I would consider a mistake in the way we think, is to think that if you want to be smart, if you want to use your brain, then there's no room for faith in the equation. It doesn't work. Or to put it a little more crassly, to quote the late comedian George Carlin, religion is like drugs. It destroys the thinking mind. The idea that if you want to be a thinker, you got to get rid of faith. For many people, intelligent faith is an oxymoron, so the latter is abandoned. And I would say even within the church, some are so turned off by the platitudes and the pat answers given that they expect nothing more. And so the questions stop coming. I'm just going to continue to be here in the church, but my faith begins to suffer because the questions I have don't belong here. But when questions stop coming, we're in trouble. It's like the classic 1994 action movie Speed. Remember that one? Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock, where they're on like this bus, and if it goes below a certain speed, a bomb's going to go off somehow. And so they have to keep this bus moving. I think that's like a good illustration for when we stop asking questions, when we say there's no room for questions in my faith, that's like a bomb waiting to go off. We've got to be careful. And so here's my invitation. If you believe that you have to walk away from faith in order to maintain your intelligence, I would like to encourage you to stick around and consider that God may be interested in both. He may be interested in faith and our minds. Jesus was once asked, okay, so what do you say the most important of all the commandments is? And he responded, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. But what on earth does Jesus mean by loving God with all your mind? What would that look like? All of us have, or at least should have, significant questions about life and faith that have not yet been answered. And I want to suggest that this is a good thing. Claude Levi-Strauss once wrote that the learned person is not the one who gives the right answers. It is the one who asks the right questions. Asking the right questions matters. But what happens if the answers we find are different from the answers we want to hear? What happens if the things we were so sure about suddenly begin to shake? Well, I think that Jesus means, at least in part, that we're invited to bring these questions of ours out into the open, to use our minds in full view of God and without fear. G.I. Packer, Christian author and scholar, writes that God made us thinking beings, and he guides our minds as we think things out in his presence. That's really encouraging news. God created us to think. He created our minds. And so rather than thinking, you know, I've got to ask these questions somewhere hidden from God because I don't want him to know about these questions I have, or I don't think he'd like me thinking these thoughts. No, we think through these questions and we bring our doubts to the table and we ask our big questions in God's presence, and he can guide our minds as we think them through. This is one of the reasons that every week on a Sunday morning here, we dedicate the last half hour of our time together to sit around tables, to engage in conversation, to ask each other questions, to answer tough questions, to talk about life and faith together. If you haven't been here before, we do that in the gym at the last half hour of our time together every week, because we believe that asking questions is important. We believe it's important to be stretching our minds as we stretch our faith. It's the reason we started this new initiative in the fall, and we'll be rolling out new iterations of learning labs this term where we can explore and dive deeper and continue to stretch our minds, open the same Bible that we've read for a while, but explore it in new ways, engage in meaningful conversations with people about faith. because it's very easy for us to not use our minds very well. And so here's an example. A few months back, you may have heard me talk a little bit about this organization called Faith Tech in our city. And a few months ago, I heard a presentation on this, and the guy who was talking, he said this one thing. He said, you know what pastors tend to do? He said, when they meet someone in their congregation who like works in the tech industry or has certain tech skills, they tend to do one of three things. They either offer them a role running PowerPoint, running the soundboard, or helping with the website. And I was like, yeah? Like, what else could someone do? And he went on to cast this vision for all of the incredible things that people with tech skills could do for the kingdom of God, whether it's within the church or without. And I was like, my mind was so like shrunken and small that I couldn't even imagine these incredible possibilities. And so actually, this is part of this is a bit of an announcement here to say that on Thursday night, we're having the director of Faith Tech, James Kelly, come, and he's going to sit down with a group of people in our congregation, anyone who is working in tech or has tech skills or is passionate about this, to work on a problem. We went out for coffee and he asked me a question. He said, what is something that your church is passionate about? And I said, well, something that we're pretty passionate about right now is sponsoring refugees. And we've got some people, some groups together that are looking to invite refugees and come alongside them. And I said, and I think it's actually a really complicated process. And maybe people could use their tech skills to help this. And he got really excited about this. And so on Thursday night at 7 o'clock, anyone in our community who is either in the tech industry or has tech skills or is passionate about that or is passionate about finding ways to help refugees, come and join us in the upper room at 7 on Thursday night. And we're going to try to use our brains a little differently than the church is used to using our brains. And I think this is what another aspect of what Jesus means when he talks about using loving the Lord with all of our minds, is that we make our minds available. Like, some of us have brilliant minds, and we don't know how to use that for the kingdom. We don't know how to use that for what God wants to do in this world. We were really good maybe at using it in the workplace, but or in the wherever else in our studies, but we don't know how to intersect that with the kingdom of God. And I want us to challenge to stretch our minds and think about how God could use our minds in that way. Becoming the God people that God calls us to will require some cerebral stretching. It will require an openness to some new ways of thinking and understanding. Peter Wright says, believers, from time to time, need a break with their old ways of believing. Believers, as well as unbelievers, are in need of conversion. It's not just the person who's never met God who has to repent. It's the person who has known God their whole lives who needs to repent, to change their way of thinking about the world. I can remember my 21-year-old self sitting down in a coffee shop with Melissa's 21-year-old self. And a pastor that we met when we were traveling out west, we were out in Calgary, we were there, it was the year before we started our student church, and we were just kind of doing some research, some exploration, and we met this guy at his Sunday morning service, and he said, why don't we have coffee and talk sometime? And we sat in this coffee shop right beside the airport, because we got on a plane right after this meeting, and he just like blew our minds for like an hour and a half. He challenged everything that we believed. Everything we believed about God, about our faith, about the church, about the mission of God in the world. He just challenged everything. And our heads were spinning like crazy. We talked the whole flight home. I can remember sitting down with our extended family trying to explain some of the things that we were going through our minds. And I think they all thought we were crazy. But it was this incredible time of stretching the way that we thought about faith. And I think we all have to have an experience like this. And hopefully Elevation is a place where we do this for one another, where we push each other, where we challenge each other, where we stretch one another's minds. Because in the words of Oliver Wendell Holmes, a mind that is stretched by new experience can never go back to its old dimensions. And so we stretch our minds. We expand our capacity to think well in the presence of God. Don't just accept things as they are. Don't be satisfied with what you know today. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And be okay with not having it all figured out yet. Frederick Buechner puts it well. Consider yourself one who is on the way, though not necessarily very far along it, and who has at least some dim and half-baked idea of who to thank. We can be confident enough with that. Over the holidays, we got a new dishwasher. It's exciting because we've had no dishwasher for the last 8 months. We got used to washing dishes by hand, but we got a new one. And with some help from my brother-in-law, we installed this dishwasher, and it ran, and we were so excited. And then I went to run it the next day, and it didn't run. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I fiddled around with the buttons. I like turned the power off. I Googled fix the dishwasher. I did everything I could, and eventually it worked. But the problem was that I didn't know what I did to make it work. And so I couldn't repeat it again. So it worked on the first day, it worked on the second day, and then I couldn't get it to work again. So I called like customer service, and I left a message for an appointment. And then the next day, after going back to washing dishes by hand, just as an aside, any like parents with kids at home noticed a few extra dishes around the house the last couple weeks? Anyway, so lots of dishes to wash. But eventually I get through to someone, and he says, oh, he said, that's an easy fix. I'm like, seriously? He says, when you hit the cycle button, you have to close the door. I'm like, what are you talking about? He said, you have 4 seconds to close the door. If you don't close the door in 4 seconds, then it won't work. I'm like, well, I'm sure that's not the problem, but let me try it while I have you on the phone. Yeah, that was it. That was it. Which reminded me of this quote by Clark Pinnock. He says, the idea of opening the mind like opening the mouth is to close it again on something solid. We need to open our minds, we need to think, but we need to be able to close the door so that what we're thinking can have an impact on the way we live our lives. As important as our thinking, our questioning, our problem solving is, it must be followed up by action. We need to, in a sense, close the mind again so it can actually impact the way that we live our lives. In James 3, the Bible asks this question, who is wise and understanding among you? How do we know? How do we know who's wise and understanding? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. And so we need to ask questions. We need to think. We need to problem solve. But then we need to close the door and we need to live out what we've been learning and what we've been thinking through. The way we think about the world, about ourselves, and about God gives significant shape to how we actually live our lives. Which is why I believe that the chapter heading in the message before that passage that we had read earlier from Proverbs 4 says your life is at stake. Your life is at stake. Now, listen to the advice I got to give to you. Because there's nothing that matters more than gaining understanding, than gaining wisdom. Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. And if we think well in the presence of God, and if we challenge one another to stretch our minds in the way that we understand things, then Romans 12:2 kicks in. You will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I'm going to invite you to stand. We'll close in prayer as we head over to the gym for some discussion. Lord, we're grateful that we can think in your presence, that you have created us as thinking beings, that you've created our minds, that you long for us to be able to use them. And so I pray for those who maybe haven't done a whole lot of thinking, and those of us who have done too much thinking, that we would be able to find that balance where we understand that faith and thinking go together, that the way that we believe and the way that we use our mind, that they intertwine with one another. They're not disconnected parts, but they work together. It's my prayer, God, that you would help us to teach one another how to think well, that you would help us be challenged and stretched in the ways that we believe about things about you, the way that we believe things about ourselves, the way that we think things about the world around us, and that as our minds are expanded and challenged and stretched in new ways, that they wouldn't go back to the old way, but they would be expanded for your kingdom and for your purposes. So God, even now, as we go and gather around tables, be with us, guide our conversation, help us to learn and grow in one another's presence and in your presence. In Christ's name we pray, amen.